This is the Inside Pitch with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by Light Up Media Group. Now, your host, former USA Baseball National Team coach, Peter Caliendo.
Welcome to the Inside Pitch. I'm your host, Peter Caliendo. We are thrilled to be doing the show from the beautiful Opryland Hotel in Nashville for the American Baseball Coaches Association Coaches Convention. This is the largest baseball coaches convention on anywhere in the world, with over 6,000 baseball coaches attending, with some fantastic speakers, exhibitors, and a great way to meet different individuals, not only from the U.S., but all over the world. So we're thrilled to be here, and I'd like to welcome everyone around the world, and thank you for listening to our show today. Today's show is brought to you by Audible.com, a great resource for audiobooks. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/insidepitch. You know, there's over 180,000 titles to choose from with your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MPS player. You know, as you know, we'd like to get started right away with today's episode, and it's going to be special because we're not including a guest today, but I will take the time to discuss a very important topic to me that will allow you to stretch your mind as a coach. Our title, Thinking Outside the Box When Coaching. If you believe in challenging the status quo, and you're always searching for the better way or idea, and this is the show for you to listen to. Our show believes in expanding the minds of all coaches. You know, Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, one's mind, once stretched by a new idea, never regains its original dimensions. So, are you prepared to listen to new ideas, techniques, and skills that might not be the same that you are currently teaching? Are you willing to change as a coach? And show your players that coaches also learn and that we must learn to change as well. This famous quote in Moneyball always sticks to the back of my mind when teaching coaches to become a better coach. We were already doing it this way. Is this the way you would start? Most coaches teach how they've been taught or how they did it. We want to challenge you to be better than most coaches. Our show will be committed to bringing you the coaches who think outside the box and are always challenging the status quo. I'm a very passionate person when it comes to the belief in order to grow the game, coaches of all levels need to continue their education. If our ultimate goal is to keep players in the game longer, introduce the game to new players, and help develop the game on a long-term basis, then our coaches around the world must continue to get better. Okay, so let's get started. For the next half hour, you're going to hear me, Peter Caliendo, your host of the Inside Pitch. We're going to start with how coaches are programmed. Baseball coaches have been programmed to teach how they were taught and how they did it for many years. The problem with that is if you've been teaching something that you've been taught, that now there's a better way, there's a better drill, there's a better system, and you're still stuck in the old ways, then you're not making your players better. So you need to review as a coach to make sure that you're doing something correct. Ask yourself this question. If you were not already doing it this way, is this the way you would start? You know, since things have always been this way, people feel that, well, just keep doing it and we'll be okay. History's shown that if you're always doing the same thing all the time, that you're never going to get better. Baseball's a traditional game. And think about it. We still call the foul pole a foul pole. You know, isn't it really a fair pole? A simple concept like that, that really doesn't affect the game itself or the development, just goes to show you how long it takes the game of baseball to make changes. I mean, it's a fair pole if it hits either side. Now, if we're debating that, we're in trouble. And we know that it's a fair pole, whether it hits either side of the pole or any part of the pole. You know, Bill Veeck, the very famous owner of the Chicago White Sox, a very progressive person in those days, said this about baseball. Baseball is the only thing besides the paperclip that has changed. Now, baseball's made some progress. There's no doubt about it. In the last few years, with instant replay and some other things, and they're keeping up with hopefully the times. But let me tell you something about what baseball, where baseball's been in the past, just to give you an idea why baseball hasn't changed. Do you know that major league players 45 years ago, it took them 45 years actually to include the first player. It took them 30 years to ban the spitball. It took them 70 years to make the batting helmet mandatory. For over 50 years, the defensive player left their glove on the field on the third out. It took 88 years for the catcher to wear a helmet. What do you think? The teaching of the game have been around this long? Wow, it took a long time for a lot of things to change in the game. So here's what I'd like you to do. As a coach at any level, whether you're a volunteer, whether you're a travel coach in the United States, whether you're a volunteer all over the world, whether you're a professional coach, a high school coach, a college coach, I'd like to have for you to have an open mind during this talk. I'd like you to think outside the box, and I'd like you to think like that young man that's walking down the street, and he's 8 years old, and he sees a puddle of water. When he sees that puddle of water, he just jumps right in. He's open-minded about it. He's not worried about it. It's not like adults. You know, they see that puddle of water, and you know, they complain about it, and then they walk around, and you know, they're not as open-minded as kids are. So this is the type of thing during this talk that I'd like for you to have, is have that open mind. All right, so let's talk about how are we going to change the system. Well, we know in the United States, we need a national certification program. We need somebody to step up and to make sure that coaches are being trained, especially at the volunteer level. These are well-intended people, people who, you know, love the game. They want to help their kids. A lot of times they want to help their own individual kid, and that's fine. As long as you're helping every kid on your team get better, have fun, want to enjoy the game. But there's a lot of things that it takes to deal with this, and we need to educate our volunteers. We need to help them. We need to supply them with the right educational program, whether it's online, whether it's in person, whether it's a combination of both. Our volunteers are the foundation of our sport, and if we continue to train them properly, then the game will grow. Kids will continue to play. We'll even have more players that want to play the game because it's a lot of fun. Now, later on, we'll get into that. We'll talk about how we can do that. Now, as a coach, you have to be able to change. And when you change, you have to be able to tell the players why you changed a certain fundamental, why you changed a certain drill, why you changed a certain philosophy. You have to show that you're human, that you can make changes, that that's what you're trying to get them to do, is to learn, change, and for the better. And if you can do it, they're going to have a lot more respect for you. So I would think that that would be on the top of your list. Now, our topic, thinking outside the box, I'm going to start you off with the first one. It's so easy, but yet not done in many programs. Many times we ask players, you got to know the outs. If you don't know the outs, you can't play the game. But then what do? We keep telling them the outs. There's no education. There's no responsibility. And I'm talking about at the very young levels. You know, if we're going to create a good habit, it has to start young. Whether it's your 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, whatever age you have, we need to make sure that they're creating good habits right away. And it can be fun. So what's better than telling them the outs? How about asking them the outs? How about as they get older, when they get on base, they need to show you the outs? You know, a lot of times as coaches, we may not know the outs, so that might even help us, because if our kids are paying attention, that'll help us as coaches. I remember many times in professional ball, looking at the scoreboard and wondering, I wonder if he's got the right outs or she's got the right outs on the scoreboard, because humans make errors. When you ask players the outs, they will now begin to think on their own. And guess what? When you're coaching first base and that player makes an out, gets on base, before they get to the base, they will tell you the number of outs. They will instantly, because you know what? They don't want to be asked the outs. Now, when you know the outs as a player, now you can start playing the game on your own a little bit. So as simple as that sounds, that's educational. That's different. Because as you go around the games, around the country, around the world, you will see many coaches do what they've always done or how they've been taught, And that is tell the players the outs constantly. Because we're afraid if they don't know the outs, that they're going to make a mistake and that's going to cost us something. Not sure what that something is. Could be a trophy. Could be a win. Could be something that we really shouldn't be focusing on at the real young ages. So let's try to think about that. Hopefully that's expanded your mind a little bit. That's just the beginning. We talk about young players, and we'll get to some of the older players. Let's talk about some of the young players continue to talk about something extremely basic. In the old days, I know when I played, they taught me to break my glove in. You took two baseballs, you put them in the glove, you wrapped it around with a string or rubber band, and that's how you left it when you didn't use it, or how, if you wanted to break it in, or if it was the off season and you weren't playing anymore. Sounds great, was told to me by a former major league player that I went to a camp to one time. Problem is, for young kids, not good. Not good because when you open that glove up, it keeps a closed shape. Young kids don't have the hands to open up a glove. You know, a professional may have that, college player. But if you took the glove and you turned it inside out, a system used by the Japanese while I was in Japan training many players, that makes a whole lot of sense by turning the glove inside out and then leaving it like that when you don't use it. Now when you reopen it, it has a more open pocket or overall glove. You know, with that glove, that player has to feel comfortable that it's broken in right, that it's open, that he doesn't have to open it with his hand. Because when he tries to open it with his hand, what happens? Well, the hand stiffens up. But we're telling our kids to relax when you catch a ball, when you feel the baseball. And then what happens is our hand stiffens up and we no longer can relax. So it's counterproductive on how you do things, how you break your glove in. Now, coaches, you know, I'm going to jump around a little bit and give you some other ideas on how we think you could think outside the box when it comes to teaching, when it comes to how you're going to do certain things. Now, let's take hitting ground balls. It could be at the older levels. It could be at the 12, the older level, when you're hitting ground balls to players. Is it necessary during your practice plan, during your organization, that you hit ground balls? Are you the one that needs to work on hitting? Because by hitting ground balls, players actually work on a lot of things. They work on timing. They work on rhythm. They work on loading. They work on hand-eye coordination. There's so many things that they can do if they're hitting ground balls. And that allows you as a coach to walk around and work with the defensive players. You may have four or five stations where guys are hitting ground balls to each other. So as a coach, maybe you might want to think, why am I hitting ground balls all the time? Another aspect, many of our coaches my age have played pepper in the old days. You don't see pepper very often. Pepper's when players go out to left field on a left field line, and you might have three players, two with gloves on. You could do a one-on-one pepper. You're throwing the ball to a hitter. That hitter hits the ball on the ground right back to you. You're working on fielding. The hitter is working on rhythm and all the things we talked about. But in the old days, we wanted to hit down on pepper. Problem is, when you hit down on a baseball, that doesn't give you a line drive. We like to play check swing pepper, where you stop your swing at contact and try to hit line drives back to the two or three players. Or if you don't get a line drive, maybe you get a one-hopper. And that really works on the contact point. It works on players seeing the ball make contact with the bat, whether you believe it or not. It works at the perfect contact position, works on their balance, and at the same time you're working on fielding. When you play pepper, tell your players when they're fielding the ball to turn and throw the ball back. But a lot of times they'll throw the ball flat-footed. Now, this drill, depending on the age, you could be 30, 40 feet away, 50. The guys throwing are throwing to a strike zone, but there's no target. So now it works on throwing the ball to a certain area. So you're actually working on controlling the ball, whether you're throwing it fast, slow. But you always want it to go straight. And during pepper, it will work on your timing because some guys throw it slow, some guys throw it fast, some guys mix it up. So that really helps you. You know, when we talk about ground balls, how many of you, and it maybe can't be done at the high school level because we have many restrictions that coaches are placed at the high school level, but how many of you between innings in a game have your first baseman roll the ball to your infielders? Now, I did it for many years. And then I started thinking, is that really the best way for my players to develop? Because during between innings, you could actually work on things. Well, we've done this, and we've done it for many years. We actually have a coach, while the pitcher's pitching the eight pitches or whatever pitches he gets, we have a coach at home plate hitting ground balls to the infielders. We have a couple players down the line, first baseline or third baseline, depending how what side of the field you're on. You can have them, the first baseman, toss the ball to the players so that way they throw it down the line to you. And there's like a little relay going on, because by the time you hit the ball to the third baseman, as he's thrown at the first and the first baseman caught it, you're already hitting the ground ball of shortstop. Now, this is more realistic. This allows players to get the ball coming from home plate, off a bat, ground balls. So this is something you should think about. Now, if you don't want to implement it during games, then implement it during practice games. Implement it during practice. If you're going to do ground balls, obviously you want to do them from home plate. We'll talk later about, you know, the first baseman that's rolling ground balls, if that's the only option that you have. Okay, at this time, let's take a little short break. To all our listeners, if you'd like to help us, every time you go buy something on Amazon, first go to our website and click on Amazon banner. It does not cost you anything, gives us credit, and helps keep the show going. Go to Amazon.com and get my book, Youth Baseball Drills. All right, let's continue. How do we teach going back for a baseball? There's another way that I was taught for many years, and if I taught the same thing and I didn't educate myself, I'm finding a better way to do it. But anytime I'm going back for a ground ball, the old system was, if the ball's hit to my right side, you're going to drop back with your right foot, and then you're going to cross over and run, whether it's on an angle or behind you. Same thing on the left side. We're working with a good friend of mine from Canada who trains Olympic athletes. I asked him, is this the most efficient way to go from one spot angles, whether the angles are right, straight to your right, angled back on your right, or straight back? Is that the most efficient and quickest way for players to take that route? And what he showed me was a quick hip turn, where your hips turn and you push off the foot that lands, and now you're popping and running. So it's kind of like if you're facing home plate and you're going to go towards, let's say, left field, you're just going to turn your hips, because your hips are the strongest part of your body. They're going to control your feet. As soon as you turn your hips, you're going to run. So if it's to the left or right, you turn your hips to the right or left. Once you turn, you take off. If it's on an angle, you take it on that angle. If it's straight back, then you turn your hips all the way, so you're now in a position to run. Prior to that, you'll push off. Once you land, then you'll push off to run. This is a great system that will help coaches. Now, the way I tested that system is I placed a cone, two cones. I let the players do the old system, however they did it, and I timed them. Then I taught them the new way to do it, and I timed them. And we saw a much better time on the way we trained them. Now, you may have a better one, and we'd like to hear about it, so let us know. We might even bring you onto the show. How about when coaches are throwing batting practice? Now, question is, when you're throwing batting practice, who's doing the throwing? Are the players doing throwing? Are the coaches doing throwing? Do you have a screen in front of you? All these are variables that you have to have, you have to understand, because if you can have your pitchers throwing batting practice, that's more proficient than your coach throwing batting practice. This allows the pitcher, especially at a younger age, to work on that. Now, you should have a screen if you have younger players or older players or something in front to protect them. But the question I wanted to bring up more importantly is, do you have a catcher there all the time? Whether a coach is throwing batting practice like we did a professional ball at, you know, 50 feet or 45 feet, or if you have younger players or a high school coach and you're throwing batting practice, is there always a catcher there? And why should there be a catcher there? Because that's the time they can get a lot of work. Catchers think that that's the time where they just need to, you know, catch, because coach needs a catcher. So that way we can throw the ball back, or we can throw less baseballs, whatever the situation is. But that catcher needs to understand that that's where he's going to get his work, and where he's going to frame, where he's going to block. If the ball's thrown in the dirt, which is going to happen periodically, the coach or player should be throwing balls in the dirt. If they're working on curveballs, if you have pitchers throwing curveballs to hitters, that catcher needs to work on catching curveballs. If they're working on whatever pitch they're working on, changeups, fastball, the locations, all these different things are important. The more the catcher does this, the better he will be in a ball game. These are all things you need to really work on and to make your practice more efficient also. Now, when you hit ground balls, when you hit a ground ball, let's take a runner when you hit a ground ball. Tell me, as a coach, do you want them to see the baseball where it goes, or do you not want them to see the baseball where it goes? I was taught a long time ago not to look at the baseball. Problem is, if you don't look at the baseball, how are you going to know what you're going to do? If a ground ball's in the infield, you got to know that ball's in the infield still, so that way you run a straight line. If the ball happened to get past the infielder, you need to start making an early turn. How are you going to determine that? Is a coach going to tell you at first base? It's extremely difficult to hear a coach talking when you have a helmet on and there's a lot of excitement going on in the field. This also relates to players playing the game on their own. If they're taught to hit the ball, run hard, and as you're running hard, take a peek. Get an idea where the ball's at. They will be much better base runners. I see a lot of players running straight down the line and they've been told it's in the infield. Then they start making their turn when they get to the base. Let's start teaching our kids how to run the bases on their own. You know, that's no different than being on first base and the ball's hit the left or center. Depending on, you know, where, if it's right center, depending on the angle of the ball, you know, who's making that determination if you're on first base and it's a base hit, if you're going to go on a third base? I could tell you at the younger levels, probably 99% of the time, the coach is making those decisions. The problem is when the coach is making those decisions, the reaction time is much slower. If a player bobbles the ball, the coach happens to stop the runner and then start him up again. Those are very difficult decisions to make, and the brain will not recognize it quick enough to allow you to react fast enough. The player has the best view with the ball in front of them, and the earlier we start teaching young kids to watch the baseball, determine where it's at, and make a decision, the better players we will have in the future. We want to be teaching instincts. We want players to learn those instincts. You know what? So the player gets thrown out 2-3 times during games or during a period of games because he made the wrong decisions. But sooner or later, those wrong decisions, they're going to be right decisions. Michael Jordan said he made so many mistakes, so many errors, but by those chances that he took, he learned so much, and that's what made him a better player. Well, this is the same thing when it comes to base running. Allow your players some freedom. Allow them to make a decision. Allow them to have some excitement during the game. When you have a decision that you're able to make, you feel good about yourself. And then when a player gets thrown out, you don't have to yell at them. You don't have to discuss it right there and then. Talk about it after the game. Maybe that's a learning experience. Take a piece of paper, write a little note. Maybe he did a great job and the defense made a great play. And when players make decisions on their own, the ball's in front of them, that puts a lot of pressure on your defense. Your defense has to feel the ball. They have to transfer the ball out of the hand into the glove, throw the baseball. Throw it correctly. The other guy's got to catch it. And if there's a relay guy, he's got to do the same thing. Get out of his glove, get a good grip, throw the baseball. And another guy's got to still catch and tag you. All those things have to occur in order to throw you out at third base. Now we'll talk about that same concept at the major league level for all you high school coaches, professionals, and even your national team coaches. You know, Joe Maddon, when he was with the Rays, the numbers are close. He had about 136 times one year that players went to first and third on a base hit. You know how many times they got thrown out? You would have thought a lot at the major league level where they can catch and throw and they're very good athletically. They got great athletes. He got thrown out like 3 times. If you can do that at the major league level, what can you do at the college and high school? If you teach your players to take a very good secondary lead, aggressive, stay in motion on your secondary, and don't stop, and then once the ball's hit, then you're continuing. If you do that and your outfielders take 1 or 2 steps to the right or left or angle anywhere, then it's an automatic third base that the runner has to be on. Now, you can train by doing that in your practices. You could have a specific practice where you're working on all that. Now, that gives you an idea of things we were taught about in the past. They're not always necessarily better now. There may be better ways to do things. Let's talk about between innings. What are you doing between innings with your first baseman? If your coach is not hitting ground balls, what can you do with your infielders? Well, a lot of guys might have 2 first basemen, so your second baseman's taking ground balls and they're throwing the ball to the one first baseman, and then your second and shortstop throw the ball to the other first baseman. That's one way. Another way is for every inning to create situations. When you roll a ground ball, it could be every inning or it could be every ground ball. You could do certain things like fielding the ball the first time, right at you. The next one, backhand. The other one, forehand. Another one, you might feel it, drop it, and then throw it. Work on recovery. The next one might be double plays. Another one might be double play situation, drop it, but now throw it to first. You were going to for the double play, but since you dropped it, you got the runner at first. Those are all, and there's a lot more, those are all situations that allow you to train between innings, in-game situations, and players continue to develop their skills. A lot of times we just see ground balls and all they're doing is just throwing a ground ball and they're fielding and throwing to first base. Most of that's a waste of time because they throw it real slow, they field it slow. You know, during that between innings, especially with young kids, force them to do it a little bit quicker. If they feel uncomfortable, then they're not ready yet fundamentally. But once they feel pretty good, then speed up the process to a game situation. So between innings, take advantage of throwing the ball fast or quick and fast, just like if there was a base runner. What about your warm-ups? You know, we're kind of backtracking here a little bit, but I'm just kind of picking and choosing things to give you an idea what might be different or what you can do different and why I do it this way. But how many times have you told runners prior to a practice, you got to get warmed up, so I want you to run to the fence forwards? We tell them run to the fence backwards. That way they get that initial movement of their body. Where are their gloves? I see a lot of young kids, the coaches tell them to put the gloves on the ground. That's the way we used to do it, right? Coaches told us all the time, put your glove on the ground, let's run. Well, is that the most productive way to run? Well, I don't think so. I think there's a lot more productive for our younger players. How about putting the glove on the hand and making them run with the glove? How about putting a ball in the glove and making them run with the ball in the glove? That's a lot more realistic. That allows them, because, you know, if you're a right-handed thrower and you've got a glove on your left hand, you know, you don't do a lot with your left hand during the day. If you're a right-handed thrower, you're most likely right-handed. You most likely play ping pong right-handed. You most likely do a lot of things right-handed. And the left hand doesn't do anything all day. And then you put the glove on and ask them to use that left hand to feel a ground ball. Well, how about training them to keep the glove on all times? We keep our glove on in the majority of our drills that we do. Later on, or in another talk, we'll talk about how we do a lot of drills relating to skill work. So keep the glove on. That's extremely important. Let's talk about hitting again. Many of you hit off a tee, which is one of the best things to do. Many of you have soft toss. Do all your players have batting helmets on when you're doing your drills? And the first thing you would say is, well, you got to have helmets on for safety. That's the obvious one. But don't we need batting helmets on because that's how we do it in a ball game? We're treating our situations, we're getting our body used to hitting with a helmet on. You ask a player to hit without one and then put one on at a young age, that's an uncomfortable situation. Infield, outfield. Before a game, many of you might take infield, outfield, right? So because it's just something we've done. You get about 10 minutes. It could be at the high school level, college level. It could be at the younger levels if you have the time. A lot of times the young levels, you just show up to the game, you're late, get loosened up, and get ready to play. We do that a lot down in the Dominican Republic when we bring our teams down there. We don't have time for infield, outfield. But we do other things prior to that to help us with fielding and hitting. But when you're taking infield, outfield, how do you take that infield, outfield? Well, let me give you the way it's been done for over 100 years. The same way everywhere. Now, it's changed at the college level because they use two or three different fungo hitters. But let's talk about our younger levels. You know, the high school and college, maybe it's more advanced now and they're starting to make some changes to utilize the time and utilize more coaches and players. So things are happening more often. But let's take our young players. A lot of times the ball is hit to the first baseman first, then the center fielder, then the right fielder. Question is, why? Well, because it's been done that way. Now, does that help them in a game situation? No. If you were to tell them where to throw the ball, let's say to second base or third base or home, the way you instruct players during infield, outfield, but don't tell them who you're going to hit the ball to, Now everybody's prepared. Everybody's ready in a good ready position. Everybody, as you toss that ball up, is watching your bat angle and working on bat angle and working on contact point and trying to get a jump. Now you've got players thinking on their own and reacting to that situation. You can do the same thing in the infield. In the infield, a lot of times you hit the ball to the third baseman first and shortstop second, first base. Again, been done that way for many years. Does that mean it's the best way? And there's better ways, I'm sure. But one way, don't tell your infielders. Include a pitcher in there. Include the catcher. Don't tell the catcher. If you roll the ball out in front, that's his ball. It doesn't matter whose ball. It's wherever the ball is, the team reacts. I think that will help you prepare for the game a lot better than if you just hit the regular infield, outfield. All right. We're coming down to the end. We've got a lot more that we want to include, but we're going to have a different episode. Let's talk about a couple other things that I think will help you. How about letting your players call pickoffs? Let your catcher call it. He sees the first baseman, sees the runner. Runner takes a big lead. He feels that it's a good time to pick for the pitcher. He might drop his glove. Pitcher has to pick on that. Kids are afraid to pick off the first base. Teach them how to do it, which is just a turn. It's a hip turn and a throw. No different than a relay. Only in a relay, you're turning as you catch the ball. But on a pickoff, it's a turn and throw. You're playing catch. Don't worry about a pickoff. Play catch with your first baseman. Now, the lower you can play catch, the little bit better. That takes a little practice. But let your catchers call that. Let your pitchers decide if they want to pick. Maybe encourage them to do that. A lot of times they're afraid, so they need encouragement. If it's practice, don't worry if the ball's thrown away. If it's thrown away, it's a learning experience. Let your middle infielder call picks. You know, if the second baseman, shortstop have a sign between them and with the pitcher, or even your third baseman. Maybe the runner's too far. Your third baseman's off the base. The runner's too far. They have a communication pick between them. It could be, I don't know, picking your shirt. That means pickoff. That means when the pitcher lifts his foot, third baseman breaks, and they throw to third. Allow your players to play the game on their own a little bit. If you listen to Ned Yost, the manager of the World Series champions, Kansas City Royals, on MLB Network, after the World Series being interviewed, you would have noticed that he allows his players to play the game on their own. That was one of the things he specifically talked about. And then you saw how aggressive they were, how they played the game. So allow your players to do that. I know they're young. They're starting at the young levels. That's okay. That's a great time to start learning. And if you make mistakes, to learn from those mistakes. Let's go back to the catcher for a second. When you're catching BP, what else can he do to make your players better? How about call balls and strikes? That way the catcher learn the strike zone and your hitters learn the strike zone. Okay, so some of the things that we gave you are things that we feel can change the way you do things during practice or in games that would allow your players to learn a lot quicker, and they're not your typical things from the past. Remember, we like to open up your minds and think outside the box when it comes to coaching. We're going to be back with another episode of The Inside Pitch, where we're going to discuss more things about thinking outside the box. Now, I'd like to thank everyone for listening to our show. And remember, if you want to learn more about all our guests, get tips, see videos, and more, then check out our Twitter at Inside Pitch Show. Also, our Facebook page, facebook.com/InsidePitchShow. Go to our webpage, InsidePitchPodcast.com, for a lot of information. And you can email me anytime you like at peter@insidepitchpodcast.com. If you have any questions, you'd like to hear a specific guest, or we can help you in any way to become a better coach or player, feel free to email us anytime. And do us a favor, go to iTunes, Stitcher, or any major podcast outlet and click subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating and also a review. Remember to check out all our shows on Lineup Media Group for shows like Youth Baseball Talk and Let's Get It On. Check it out on our lineupmediagroup.com. Please share all our shows with your friends on Facebook, Twitter, and by email. Any way you can to spread the word, we would appreciate it. Remember, coaches, that coaches' education is the key to building the foundation of our sport, so keep getting smarter. I'm your host, Peter Caliendo, Have a great coaching day and see you on the next show.
This has been the Inside Pitch with Peter Caliendo, a Lineup Media Group production. Get access to all of our podcasts like Youth Baseball Talk, You're on the Clock NFL, and Let's Get It On with famed MMA referee Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock. Online at lineupmediagroup.com and on iTunes and Stitcher.